Hello, my name is Brad McIntyre, and you're listening to the Cultivated Playwright Podcast. This is episode number 28. I'm titling this episode On Criticism, and I'm taking it from an essay that Johann Wolfgang von Goethe wrote in the 1820s, also called On Criticism. I've been thinking a little bit about criticism lately. I had a friend who I haven't seen in person probably in about 3 years, a fellow performer who lives across the country from me, comment on a blog post that I put up in 2020 in which I review, basically a review that I got on a show that I put together called Dalen Hillis in Space. It was a digital theater project. And if you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you know how I feel about digitalizing theater projects. But in 2020, in the fall of 2020, I submitted for a local festival a quote-unquote digital theater project. And one of the reviews that was done by a local critic, who's otherwise a very good critic with a long history, of doing pretty good work, he did not understand the nature of the project at all. And a lot of his criticisms in the review that he gave, the critique that he printed, just showed a huge misunderstanding about what he was looking at and listening to. Anyway, I did on my blog, I did a sort of good-natured and sort of corrective review of my review because, you know, it's my website. So that's my outlet for saying whatever I want to say. Anyway, when my friend, who was very amused at my review of a review, sent me this email, it got me to thinking a little bit lately about criticism and how I personally use criticism and my thoughts on it in general. First of all, I'm not one of these artists that takes criticism personally. In general, I'm one of these people that separates the artist from the art. It seems to be in vogue a lot of times to mix up the artist themselves as a person with the artwork that they produce. And I think this is sometimes problematic. It keeps you from enjoying art that would otherwise be expressed to you and spark ideas in you just because you don't like the person for some reason that does the art. I'm not saying that approach is not unfounded and unwarranted or wrong in any way. Everybody can interpret art however they want. I'm just saying I'm one of these people that personally, I separate the artwork from the artist. I like art by artists that are not very nice people in real life. They have a lot of problems. And I like artists who are sometimes not really great at the art they do. But I don't mix up the two. So when I get criticism, I very seldom take it personally. Even though I opened this whole episode by saying I did a review of a review that I got, it makes it sound like I took it personally. It was an exercise in kind of good-natured, kind of a corrective measure that I took to set the record straight. But it didn't hurt my feelings or anything that this person didn't understand what I was putting out there. It just, you know, it is what it is. Anyway, first of all, I don't think criticism should be taken personally. I don't think the artist should let their emotions be affected by what a critic or a reviewer might think of the actual artwork that they put out. The next thing is, when I think about criticism, especially of theater, of plays that are written and stuff, productions that I've put on in the past, I always keep in mind who the art is for. Now, the critic is a member of the audience, and sometimes they like to think of themselves as a representative of the audience. A lot of modern day, or I should say contemporary critics are journalists in some way who work for a publication, oftentimes an online publication nowadays. Ever so often they're freelancing and just have their own little outlets, their own blogs, but they're responsible for at least a small amount of context, the who, what, where, when, you know, the basic 5 W's of journalism, as well as if it's just a small review, like a thumbs up, thumbs down, you know, 4 stars, 5 star kind of blurb, like what would used to be in newsprint used to be like a small column in length. That kind of review doesn't necessarily, I don't expect that kind of review to have in-depth analysis. I don't expect it to have a great deal of context. I don't even expect the reviewer to substantiate or back up their judgments or their opinions. In short little reviews, quote unquote, it is okay if they're like, go see it or should be missed, and without having to go into too much detail. What I sometimes do respond to more is actual critiques, and this is done by a critic, a person that theoretically has some background in what they're judging and what they're viewing. And this kind of critic, I would like to say, has a background in what they're doing, but it's not always the case. Sometimes you'll have people come out and critique something, and they have experience in sort of an adjacent field. If it's a theater critic, I expect that theater critic to have a background in the theater, a degree in the theater arts. And if they don't, I don't feel that their criticism is always that relevant. In particular, I would expect a critic to have done some theater in the past, some actually gone through the process. It's kind of like the difference between somebody who's coaching and somebody who has actually done the thing that they're instructing somebody to do. You know that phrase, those that can't do teach? As a teacher, I always find offensive with this because I think to myself, why would I teach somebody something that I don't personally have experience in? I think of this for critics as well. I think a critic should sometime in their past, they should have done theater to some degree so that they understand the process and the challenges and the limitations of the form, as well as what to look for to make a theater performance awesome, and speak positively of that. The critics that don't have experience, I don't think should be critiquing theater. They shouldn't be turning out criticism. Now, as a theater artist, I find it sometimes difficult or hard to get really valuable feedback. Sometimes after a show or a reading, they'll do an audience talk back, depending on the theater company that I might be working with. And I always take the audience feedback with a grain of salt, because it's not because the audience doesn't have valuable things to say. It's just that audience members don't always have a background in the theater, and their role is as an audience member, not as a maker of theater. So trying to help me as a maker of theater, they never can get that granular. They can't get very detail-oriented. That said, I find sometimes the audience talkbacks at the end of plays valuable in an indirect way or in a vague way. They still have value. They just don't have specific value. And what I mean by this is an audience sees a work that I might have spent months and months working on. They see it one time, straight through, in real time, and then are expected to turn around and have some sort of examination or analysis about what they just saw. And I don't think they have enough time to process what they saw. It's all gut instincts. And those gut instincts are valuable to hear as a playwright, but only in a minimal way, I should say. So that kind of feedback is valuable, but not as valuable as some might make it out to be. The criticism from a critic can be valuable, but often it's not. It's just is not as valuable as a critic might think it is. But then again, you have to ask yourself, who's the criticism for? Is the critic writing for the audience, the potential audience, for the public? Are they writing for their publication in order to sell copies or to get clicks for that particular publication that they're writing for? So is it in their best interest to make the criticism sensational or slanted in some way? By being impartial, do they flatten out anything that they have to say without saying anything specific about the production? Goethe has a quote where he says, "The critic must judge a work of art more for the sake of the author than for the public." He wrote that in an essay in the 1820s, and that essay is called On Criticism. And in it, he was talking about the feedback or the criticism from the critic could be valuable for the maker of the work of art, the author, if it was directed towards the author, in order to make the author better over time. But oftentimes that's not the case. The critic often doesn't write specifically to the maker of whatever they're critiquing. They're writing for the public. And because of that, the theater artist, and I'm talking about myself here, doesn't find it as valuable. Their feedback isn't as valuable to me. It doesn't help me make my work better necessarily. Or I should say, it doesn't always help me make my work better. I had a conversation some years ago with a local critic, and I was telling her how I was a little bit frustrated with the fact that anybody can show up and then write a criticism or a review of a production that I do. They don't have to get certified in any way. There's no regulation. It's just you, and you can't keep a critic out necessarily unless you literally ban them from showing up. Like, if you don't give them free tickets, complimentary press tickets, then they can just buy a ticket and then they can write whatever they want. Anybody can write whatever they want nowadays, especially with all the social media and stuff out there. So I was expressing some frustration to a critic about how critics don't have to be qualified for what they're doing. And there was a moment of silence, and then she said back to me in a very straightforward and very wise way. She said, "Well, yeah, Brad, but the people doing the theater don't have to be certified either. There's no bar of entry for putting on a show. Anybody can do a show for the public, just as anybody can write about that show for the public." And she brought up a really good point. There's no regulations or rights of entry to say you have to know what you're doing in order to even put up a show to begin with. So it kind of balances out. I think it evens out. So a critic has just as much a right to critique a show as a theater artist has to put on a show. I find that critics have a love-hate thing with the artists that they write about and the plays that they write about, because just they're people just like everyone else, and sometimes they have certain preferences over other preferences. The really good critics maintain sort of a journalistic unbiasedness, or at least an attempt to do so. I'm friends with a former critic. She was a critic for many, many years, for decades. And I became friends with her after she retired. And she was always expressing frustration for trying to communicate with artists, especially like in interviews and in profiles and things like that. Not necessarily the reviews of their shows. She was the kind of reviewer that was kind of snarky and would make comments about people's weight and their voices and, you know, the color choices of the costume designers and stuff like that. So she was a little bit snarky. She was one of these people that kind of wanted to sell to her readers. The production wasn't the centerpiece. She was the centerpiece of her criticism, for good or bad. She's hilarious and a wonderful person, but I asked her what her frustration was with theater artists. And in particular, she said, "They're not interesting in real life." And what she meant is they just didn't have any media training. They didn't represent themselves well. They answered yes or no to interview questions without expounding. They made no effort in being charming and engaging and talking intelligently about their work. They oftentimes didn't think about media training, which I should address in another podcast episode. That's important for an artist. After you've been doing it for a little bit, you should have some at least minimal degree of media training, sort of like celebrities do. But, you know, maybe in a smaller context, you should represent yourself well, basically, and be able to talk about yourself and your work very succinctly. But I suspect that they were adversarial to her as a critic because of her reputation. They just didn't want to open up and talk to her. And nobody won out. She didn't get the profile or the interview that she wanted, and the artist didn't express to the public their projects and themselves as artists very well. So I don't know. The relationship with a critic between an artist and a critic can be very, let's say, complicated. It can be complex. Anyway, those are just a couple of thoughts I had on criticism and how artists and critics get along. Now, as far as the critique itself, nowadays, the way I use critiques is, well, I use them for pull quotes. That's about it. I pull quotes. Even if it's a bad review, I'll pull quotes from it. I won't take anything out of context, but I definitely will center on the positive things. And if it's very, very negative, I'll pull something very, very negative out and put it amongst other positive pull quotes, just to represent that one, you know, disagreeable view. And pull quotes are only useful on websites and marketing things, really. The interesting thing is nobody except the artists remember their reviews. The general public might consume a review just to get a handle on what the play is like. And most people, even though we live in a world where, you know, we have algorithms that recommend things to us and tailor make our experience, most people will make their own minds up if they make an effort at all to, you know, investigate a production. A bad review won't necessarily keep them from going to see the production. And I've never worked on a level where a review has the strength of closing down a production. Like, I've never done a play that's reviewed by the New York Times, you know, that quote-unquote has the power to close a production within a week, you know, like a big Broadway play or something. Most of my criticism is regional and local, and nobody has enough power with the public to close a play, or at least any of the plays that I've done. So I'm kind of amused by my criticism, and I read it because I want to find out what that one person thought about it. But I don't put much weight in it. I do what I do regardless. And if it indirectly leads me towards making my work better, I'm grateful for it. Other than that, it's just something that's tangential to the work itself. It's like the DVD special features of a production. It's not the main attraction. It's just add-ons. So criticism's not remembered by the audience. It's not remembered by the critics even. They barely remember the stuff they write because they often write about so much stuff over the course of a year. So that's how I use criticism, like practically, is I just pull quotes when I can, and if I don't, I ignore the critique altogether. Anyway, those are my thoughts on criticism right now. I might change my mind in the future. Anyway, thanks for listening. Maybe it'll spark some ideas in you and how you think about criticism and critics and reviews and reviewers. And hope you have a good day. If you want to check out more about me, you can visit my website, bradmcintyre.com. Of course, you can search for me on Amazon and see some of the plays and stuff that I've written in the past. I've even just released a kid's book, a picture book, that I wrote and I drew the pictures for my kiddo. It's called Petey Gale Goes Up and Beyond. And you can find that on Amazon right now as a paperback if you're interested. It has nothing to do with playwriting and theater and stuff. It's just something I did for my kid. And I self-published it since I put the work in. So that's it. Take it easy. Bye-bye.